cliffcentral.com.
Hola, hola, hola. Hello, very, very welcome to Beyond Ears and Eyes on Cliff Central. So good to talk to you again and very welcome for, you know, from wherever you're listening. And then also to Palisa Mabuye. Very welcome, Palisa. How's your year been thus far? Okay. I actually don't want to talk to you about, you know, anything. And I don't actually want you to say anything on this show because you've got your own show now. Two Woke Girls. Come on. That's hot. Well done.
Thank you.
Okay. And that's me now, Lizel.
I've been quietly waiting for Shemaine to say her very warm hellos and welcomes. And from me, Lizel Tom, welcome to you. And Palisa, well done, girl.
Thank you.
So, Shemaine.
Yeah, boy.
Also in studio with us, and she feels very ignored right now because, you know, the three of us are just carrying on about each other, is Jackie Freemantle, a teacher and the founder of a principle, a concept she likes to call All Star. Jackie, how are you doing? What is All Star?
Hi, thank you for having me here today and for the opportunity to share.
Awesome.
The All Star is a collective consciousness that represents the pathway of the soul, mm-hmm. as we journey on the earth, and the journey of life and how we bring life to what is inherent within us.
Okay. That sounds amazing because today we're actually going to talk about spirit hierarchy or soul hierarchy. But I'm loving how you sit. Let me just paint you a picture at home. Jackie is sitting in the chair and she's swinging around in her chair like a little girl. And I'm sure, let me just see if I can see her feet. I'm sure her feet are not on the ground. Hold on. No, her feet are not on the ground. So it's like she's sitting here chirpy and happy like a child on a swing. That's awesome. I love that.
I love joy. I think it's a very important part of the soul. Without joy, what is the purpose?
Mm. Wow. So what is soul hierarchy? Is it the same as spirit hierarchy?
Spirit and soul are two different aspects.
Okay.
A spirit is part of the essence of love from which you're born. A soul is the form of spirit. And a hierarchy is a path of consciousness that embraces and embodies collective consciousness of self-mastered beings, mm-hmm. who have walked the path of the soul on the earth, who have achieved divine realization and the ability to hold conscience, love, and wisdom, and who make themselves available to humanity to assist them in the unfolding of their soul, their life, and how they practice that consciousness, building and mastering their soul, creating love. For me, the hierarchies are different layers of consciousness, awareness, conscience, that carry the innate qualities that resonate to various aspects of awareness in which we, through soul consciousness, are able to fully embody that.
Okay. Just in a little while, I'd like for you to tell me what you mean by soul consciousness.
Certainly.
But what I also want to find out is, so are you saying that we are the last bit, the embodied, the ones that have bodies as humans, and the others, the other steps of consciousness, they're not in physical form as we know physical form to be, or understand it to be, as in touch, feel, smell, or whatever?
Certainly they can take a body if that's what they choose. There are many beings who have come to this earth who are self-mastered, who come to remind us of what is innate and inherent.
When you say self-mastered,
I want to know what is mastering?
Okay, so mastered certainly doesn't denote that there's what our human-based concept of a master and a servant. Mastery is the ability to hold the consciousness of love whilst actioning the self-awareness and realization. and to be able to live every universal principle.
And that self-awareness and realization doesn't necessarily have to be a pleasant experience, because you're saying you're holding the love and then you have that other. So I'm thinking, you know, sometimes you just do not really want to love and, you know, have an unpleasant experience at the same time.
So as souls, we come into bodies, we create various contracts, and we come here to explore various soul themes, qualities of consciousness. Those soul themes we design with our guides and guardian angels, and those then are created into pathways and experiences. So when we come to the earth, we agree that we're coming to experience duality and contrasts. So in the ancient teachings...
Preach.
I'm going to get a Tibetan singing bowl into the studio. And every time Shemaine wants to say, preach, hallelujah, that's the truth, I'm just going to ring a bowl.
Awesome.
Sorry, Jackie, we interrupted you.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all. It's interesting, you know, conversation is about hearing you. Mm. It's not just about communicating one way. And when knowing or truth resonates, that's really, it's that question that you've asked is, how does one know that love is real within you? How do you know that authenticity? And that's part of what we're here to live and become, is the full inherent potential. You ask the difference between a soul and a spirit. Well, the spirit has the potency, the soul has the potential, and the human being has the ability to be the love in all planes of consciousness, and that's the hierarchy. So depending on where your thoughts or your consciousness reside, if it's whatever plane of consciousness or quality of being that you carry, and you work with that to allow it to become fully expressed in a practical, pragmatic, day-to-day way, as well as keeping your principles of integrity, authenticity, being alive, loving who you are to life, mm-hmm. in a way that is honoring of all kingdoms of life.
So do we all have a spirit and a soul?
Yes, certainly.
Because I always thought these terms were just used, it meant the same thing, and they were just used interchangeably.
So when we spoke about the hierarchy, we've got different levels of resonance, a different calibration. So our dense levels, Shemaine was talking about the dense vibration in a body, and certainly our feelings have a different vibration. Just a sound has a certain megahertz that it works with. Color has a certain resonance and radiation, also magnetic energies. So as we're working with those planes of consciousness, your spirit is a more refined energy. It's more aligned with the essence of who you are. The body is the fabric of your being. Your soul is the expression of what that potential love is. That's organic, that's growing.
I love how you say the body is the fabric, you know, because you can touch it, it's tangible.
Yes.
You know, you can, there's texture to it.
And we, you know, the Ulster teachings speak about how...
I'm loving this. Sorry, Liesl is looking at me like I'm daft. But
so we talk like, about the soul is given an opportunity to come and weave a tapestry, a blueprint. Mm. The Ulster believe in what your soul blueprint is. And what it is, it's a story that you bring to life. You weave that through your breath, through your... The stitching, the steps you take, the words that you speak, the intentions that you carry, and that fabric of being comes to life. Mm. And what are you going to add to life? You know, that's essentially what your, you know, humanity speaks about goals, but really a goal is just a place that you arrive at. But are you arriving at yourself? Mm. And that's the difference between a spirit and a soul. Is that the essence of the spirit creates potential of the soul for you to live the fabric of the blueprint of what your soul has come to honor and acknowledge. And very importantly is how have you added love to the world? Because at the end of the day, you come from love, you return to love. So how have you lived love? Because that's the biggest impact that your soul can make.
So if you're saying we come from love, so aren't we then love? But obviously we don't act like it, but aren't we then essentially love and we're just forgetting it? And how do you get to your point where you go like, yep, I am, but I'm doing dastardly things.
But before you answer that, sorry, Jackie, can we just then define what you mean by love? Because in our human experience, love is an emotion. And you've used this word love several times now, and it sounds to me as if your interpretation of it is a bit different than just something that you feel.
Certainly, because it's a conscience. It's part of your spirit. It's part of your soul. We talk about the hierarchies. We talk about the planes of love and the planes of light and then the planes of matter.
And those are the hierarchies.
And those are the different planes that the hierarchies resonate at.
Okay.
It's different qualities of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those could be education. Some of those could be the healing. Some of them could be the arts. Every resonance has its own pure vibration, just as every soul has its own note.
Hmm.
So we're actually an orchestra. All of humanity. We all are not just expressing words, but our soul has an innate theme or sound, a resonance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we are then in expressing our best, then I think this orchestra is in harmony. But I think at the moment, you know, I wouldn't pay money to listen to the world.
So your question, Liesl, was what is love? So Shakespeare said, if music be the food of love, play on. So when you know your heartbeat is your own music, it's the sound of life, and that heartbeat, it echoes the resonance. It's two beats, one is the spirit, one is the soul. And then it's how you flow with that joy. So when we are qualifying what is love, you are love, absolutely, Shimon, we agree. You are born from love, and the origin of who you are is love.
Mm-hmm. Even though I do really bad things.
So we come into this world to experience contrast. It doesn't mm-hmm. mean that you are duality. It means that you're having an experience mm-hmm. that is relative. Even Einstein, in his journey, would dream and become inspired, and he actually dreamt one day that he was traveling on a beam of light, and that is where he came up with the law of relativity, and he set about proving, because he became passionate about what this need to express the depth of his being was. And so there are many aspects of love, and the other thing that's beautiful about love is that it's eternal, it's immortal, mm-hmm. and it keeps growing. It's the only thing in our universe that doesn't die. And that is something that is truly part of your spirit, that takes the form or the cloak of a soul, that then becomes the embodiment of different experiences.
Mm.
And you become the expert at being yourself, but not in the context or content of just conditions, but because you've come alive from inside of you. That's an aspect of love.
Okay.
So when you say that they're good things, they're pain or hurt or fear that we're coming to understand and heal, it's not about what you are critical about in yourself. Criticism is used initially when we're children, to be able to ascertain something that can generate fear or generate love. Most of us are taught by fear.
Mm-hmm.
We learn to love fear. We don't learn to honor the opportunity to transform that fear into love. Fear is just a seed. You let it grow, it will blossom into love. It is not the goal that you're directing yourself to, it's the love that you're becoming.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know what I find with criticism, it's a form of control. You know, you're trying to control someone with those words that you speak, because ultimately, you know, it's kind of like, okay, I may not do it the way you did it, but it still works, you know.
Brilliant.
Or it's even working better or faster, but because you're holding on to something that I don't have any knowledge of now, you know, you can, and it's
exactly
more.
And that's where the context and content do come in with our subconscious and unconscious minds. And when we talk about criticism, initially When we have absent parents, and a lot of youth today don't have enough mentoring, for example, they use criticism as an absent parent. It becomes a measure of whether they feel a failure or success, whether they can trust themselves or learn to love themselves. And so that critical voice continues instead of it becoming the voice of compassion and the child saying, I'm needing to learn more in this area. Criticism, I agree with you, it denotes a sense of judgment, a sense of control, where pain or fear is greater than your ability to understand. And children use criticism as an absent parent, and we take that into our adult lives.
That's hectic, eh?
And the adult is there to learn about loving yourself through the journey. So part of that is about where we're criticizing is to change that script in us.
Yeah.
We can't change the past, but you can write over that scar tissue. You can rebuild the tapestry of your life.
Because also what I heard the other day, and it resonated with me, was words are a form of prayer.
Yes.
Or it could be a curse, you know, because, you know, do you know what I'm trying to say? But if your words are healing, it's a prayer that you speak out over that person.
I love what you're saying. First of all, if you look at what the soul and the note of the soul is, it's your expression and your voice. Every person has a unique voice. And when you share that, you're actually creating. It's part of you. It's creating a sound. You are responsible for that creation. The words you speak become a living presence outside in the world.
Mm.
So when we speak with the creation of the good of all. Mm. And certainly when we look at soul lessons that often create for those who believe the cycles of reincarnation, to come back and actually find your own soul truth, where you are unique. And that's where criticism doesn't fit anymore. Where you're unique, you can't actually fall into the general conditioning. What you do is you align with the truth of the universal structure and principles, and then you can drop that. So when you're speaking, you're creating with love for the good of all.
But that is soul growth, hey?
And you know what really, you remind me, there's a famous saying, can't think of the person for me. It's quite important to be able to acknowledge the source, but can't think right now of the person. But I think it's Dalai Lama also who speaks of this, and Bishop Tutu, where he speaks, Archbishop. He says, you know, is it kind, is it true, is it necessary?
Mm.
And I think a lot of us speak to hear what we are thinking, not to share. And I love what you're saying about the soul.
Mm. I like especially, is it kind? Because ultimately, that's where we go. That's our ultimate goal, is it kind? Do I love you with my actions and my words? But that's besides the point. That's just fluff that are three in there. How does one know that your soul is growing or has grown?
So each time you experience a contrast, you are growing beyond a form that has been familiar. And you are expanding your consciousness.
Even though it goes with swearing and screaming.
And sometimes those words do come up, because sometimes those words are the best form of what you feel, because the critical self is still in touch with that pain. And we need to set the pain free. Not identify with the pain, but love it better. I always talk about leaving in love, no matter what we're healing.
Mm.
So the soul, I agree with you in that context.
Because, I mean, we go with, oh, my soul this, my soul that. And you go like, this is a messy process. And I really do not want to be, you know, seen as holier than thou in this instance. So
there is no holier than thou. You know what I love about what you're saying is oh, my soul. And what about the soul proprietorship? Where do we come in and actually own our journey, own the ability to co-create with love beyond
circumstances? Do we own our journey, though? Do we own our journey? So, because how many times do we think it's your will and your will only? And then one day you go like, no, God, you do this. Universe, I'm out. And then something happens. So Do you really own it?
Well, we learn to, because we all come into families, we different soul groups. So you could come into a family where you all are the same soul group. Perhaps you're from different soul groups, again, related to the different qualities of consciousness that you may be engaged in this lifetime to build. And you might have a scientist in a family, and then you may have a poet. And for me, the science is love. And living that love of science. So whether you do it through your expression or whether you do it through engineering, it's an art and it's a consciousness.
Are you saying, am I understanding you correctly, that your soul family doesn't necessarily have to be your blood, your human relatives?
I am saying that, because when we are souls, we choose what our parents are. From the teachings, this is what I believe, what I've been taught, that the what I know, because the soul knows what that love is, we are given options of who our parents are. So, for example, if you wanted to be an athlete, you may choose parents or genetics that are going to give you a really strong body that can make you run like the wind, because you choose a particular body type. With the genetics, with the skills, with the resources.
Oh, preach. There goes the all preach. The women. I did not choose that. But yes, okay, carry on. We choose. But I want to ask.
So we choose to learn to remember, to remember, to become a member of ourselves, to reconnect the different parts of ourselves. And so as human beings, we all have every human quality. So when you spoke about being better than or less than somebody else, it's not about that. For me, it's the circle of life. And each of us are in that 360 degrees. We all will walk in each other's shoes. And so if you're in a place right now and I'm in a different place, we honor that. And we honor the complete experience.
But I find you only can start honoring that as when you become conscious of, you know, your own frailty almost, you know, and your own inabilities or your own spaces that stops you. What can I call that?
Okay.
A place where you, yeah, you know what I'm saying.
So I prefer to work with it in the wording of there's an absence of strength. Because in the universe that's created, nothing is missing. Everything's complete, whether it's in you or outside of you.
Okay.
But everything is connected through that.
So
if you're working with that process, it's about finding it, remembering it, reconnecting. And in that circle of life, the more that we own the human part of what we're experiencing, and we release the fear, we return to love, the less the separation and the less the duality. But the contrasts do occur.
When we, I just want to get back to this choosing your parents and your soul family not being your blood family.
Yes.
Why is that? I mean, why would I want to spend my time here on earth with people that I don't resonate with? And do soul families also have family squabbles?
Absolutely.
So why can't I just stick to my own soul family? I mean, I'm used to them, aren't
I? So we were talking earlier about balance and being intense with soul families. Soul families will honor each other in absolute truth. It doesn't mean that they have to be unkind, but they will hold you accountable to be the authentic person that you are. And your question about, you know, why would you choose a blood family that has different qualities? Because we need to learn every facet of love. We need to discover by discovering, we recover who we are. And we cover ourselves with our soul, with the fabric of our soul. So we honor our past and our ancestors because they have journeyed to be where they are. They have lived to the best of their ability in the best way they know how, and we honor that. But we also allow that love to grow, so we add to that. So we choose the different qualities, the different support, the different resources, the skills, how we unpack that.
Yeah, and all of them cannot be in your own family, because if you go to Vietnam now, And you meet another soulmate. It's that dude was like, I was waiting for you. Why did you take so long? I thought you're not coming. I'm supposed to teach you about this. You know, so it's kind of like you and me, Liesl. Liesl and I have a story where she's like, I don't know. But, yep, we're going to be together sometime. Mm-hmm. Isn't it true?
I do. And some people get very uncomfortable. But Jermaine just said, okay.
She knew it.
I like it when people don't argue with me.
That was such a long time ago, but I was like, okay.
And I agree with both of you. What you resist will persist. So the more love that you allow in, and which
and
then
allow
allows the compassion. So are you compassionate to yourself? Can you be open to yourself? What is the critical?
That, hey?
And as friends, as soulmates or friends, what can often happen is that you'll choose a particular lesson to learn together.
Just shortly, how do you know someone is a soulmate?
So often there's a recognition. You can look into the person's eyes. There's a sense of familiarity. Often you find that people will dream about meeting you and then meet you. Mm. So the soul or the inner self, we call it the innate self. Sometimes it's not tangible, but it's that light and energy. The atoms inside you, that sense and know.
And because these are topics for another day, you're going to come back, isn't it? So what's the difference? What's the difference between a soulmate and a twin soul? So what's a twin soul?
So in the different hierarchical aspects, hierarchy, very important, I just want to say, it's not about I'm high or you're low. It's mm-hmm. the ability to live love in the consistency of that expression of what the divine self is.
Okay.
So you have a twin soul, and mm-hmm. you have a soul mate, and
is a twin soul like we know in terms of twins, where you know you're from the same.
Similarly,
cluster,
yes. So what happens is that you come from love and light from a spirit, and that spirit takes a form. That form is yin and yang. It's feminine and masculine. It's innate and also external. And we then choose a feminine presence or a masculine presence.
But
so you may be born as a woman, and your soulmate may take the form of a man.
No, but twin soul now, not soulmate, twin souls.
Right. So your twin soul is where you reconnect with that very with the very first soul form that you've had.
Oh.
As being that feminine and masculine presence, where a twin flame is the very first spirit. Aspect of feminine and masculine that you've had. And essentially, when we return to love, it's a unity. So you're reclaiming the masculine, feminine presences until you come back to that center presence of light and love that you are.
I just want to check. Jermaine, this soulmate that we are talking about, the concept, much like the word love, is completely misaligned and abused, especially by Hollywood and you know, stories. A soulmate, tell me where I'm wrong, is not necessarily the person, the only person you are going to marry.
Correct.
And it's not, you don't just have one soulmate,
it can be
you?
Your brother, it can be your
son,
it can be, it's a particular contract that you come together to build and to create.
But you don't just have one, do you?
You can have up to 12.
In one lifetime.
In one lifetime.
So there are 12 people where you go, yep.
Going to go home now and count all of them.
but do they stay at the same time, or is there a relay type of thing that happens where you go, okay, I need to go, but somebody else is coming in, so you've got assistance there?
Often that's correct. Like a grandmother will leave and then you could have been born, and there's an extension of that.
Okay, so you kind of have support all the time. Neil Donald Walsh has this beautiful book, and it's written for children, you know. Yeah, he's got children's books. And this little soul that says to God, listen, I want to mean something. I want to do something. I want to, you know, give me something that's amazing. And then he says, like I want to be forgiveness. You know, I want to forgive. And then he, you know, and then ultimately, I'm so paraphrasing this, but ultimately he gets one of the little angel helpers who go, okay, I'm going to help you. And he's like, but how can you help me? You're so amazing. You're so fabulous. And then the little angel says, well, you want to learn about forgiveness. So I'm going to go with you, or at the very least follow you and I'll help you with the lesson. But he says, but when we are on earth, just please remember that I am not that terrible person. I am the person who said, I will come and help you learn your lessons. Mm. And that is so incredible, because you know how we look at one another and we just go, you mean little shit or whatever you want to call somebody.
Then you forget the hurt and the pain.
But you forget that person said, I will come and help you and be the mean guy and make you look good while I look bad, so you can learn your lesson to grow. And I mean, it changed my whole perception of what happens when people stand in the gap to hurt you or teach you that lesson.
And it is. It's a service. Mm. I love your stories. I love your analogies and your metaphors. And I love how you express that, because it's a beautiful part of what comes naturally to your voice. We were talking about that. And when we look at that experience, you know, Shakespeare spoke about life being a stage, and each of us as an actor, and that in our soul contracts we agree to play a particular role. Sometimes we teachers, sometimes we students. Mm. And that is part of what the journey is about honoring the role. Not, you don't associate with experience, you associate with the person's soul.
And isn't it just that the people who hurt us the most are the ones who teach us the most?
Mm.
I've found that in my own life, that the people who've really hurt me, once I've dealt with the hurt, I can see the growth that I've taken.
I love that, because what you do is you unpack the gift.
Mm.
And we're talking about stories, and often the stories of when we leave our bodies and go back to our soul form, and our guides and guardians are there waiting us. And here is this incredible space, but there are so many unwrapped gifts. Mm. You say, well, whose are these? And they say, yours. They're the things that you never wanted to open.
Oh, you know. Yeah, okay, let's go somewhere else with this conversation.
I'm not 100% clear on this hierarchy idea. Is it like a company's organogram with some dude at the top? And you said it's not about, you know, better than or lower than, but and Jermaine started on it, and when she asked the question, my immediate thought was, are we as humans at the bottom of the food chain here?
So it depends on which food chain you're looking at, and it depends which context you're looking at. Mm. If you're looking at the cell structures on the earth, the 36,000 different base formulas of that tapestry, there's a certain carbon density that we hold. But that carbon density is like an anchor, and a ship needs an anchor.
Mm.
And we lift the anchor when we want to sail. And when we need to grow roots, we need an anchor.
So when do we want to sail?
The hierarchy is like a circle. And if you look at the core of a cell, a nucleus, we talked about your blueprint, your DNA, your life plan, the tapestry of consciousness. It starts at the center in the nucleus. It starts in that soul identity. So we talk about in a group of teachings called Huana Teachings from the Elstar, it's your solid, your soul identity. So that's the base. Mm. It's like a pyramid. You take a pyramid and you spin it, it actually becomes a circle.
Mm.
And from there, your hierarchies expand. And they expand into different levels of resonance. So your external tend to be the more dense vibrations, the internal, the purer vibration. And that, I don't know if that analogy helps you. Rather than the hierarchy or an organogram. If I had to say to you, which is more important, your nose or your stomach?
It depends on where I am. If I'm being, the vain person, I would say the nose. But
great. So each part has an equal value.
Hmm.
So just it has a different vibration with a different value, and that's where your values, the universal principles, come in. So your soul is here to live those.
So talking about that soul and food, what you apparently have a food line, or you can make potions up for the soul. So certain foods that work for the soul, and it's not the one, it's not a one size fits all kind of thing.
Not at all.
So there's food for the soul?
So if you yes, there
chicken soup for the soul.
if you have a look at your DNA, it's unique, it's enzymes, it's emotions. If you look at your feelings, they're made up of different chemical reactions, some alkaline, some acid. So you've got a whole chemical combination.
So you got me there. We're going to have to talk about that some other time, but go on, because that's,
so when
we
you,
don't have,
for yeah. example, if you eat an apple, your chemicals are going to react to that. And we work with it. As an apothecist, we look at it from the perspective of compound pharmacy, where you take your particular resonance of consciousness or cell types and structure, and we create a support system that's unique for you.
What do you need that for?
What do you need unique system for?
Is it like, is your soul in need of healing or growth, or why would you give somebody food for their soul?
If you had to sprain your ankle, I wouldn't give you a neck brace to wear. So I'm going to give you specific enzymes, specific natural remedies that bind that particular tissue.
Okay. Do you know, there's a new thing, and it's now medical as well, where you go, we're not giving you one-size-fits-all medication. We look at your DNA structure. You know, I'm just amazed that you could do it from a soul perspective, you know.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you look at the conifer family. You can get your typical Christmas tree. You can get your various pine families. We even go down to the thistle. Mm-hmm. For example, each person is going to react differently to that. Mm. Because your makeup is literally you are creating with you. So you are the common denominator. Your DNA is the common denominator. Mm. So if you're going to add to that, multiply, subtract, or divide, you're going to get dis-ease or ease, or harmony or disharmony. And so nature has the perfect solution.
And in the end,
the solution.
Solution. I love that. And in the end, of course, like you have, I do not know how many times you've used the word love today. So the ultimate answer then is love. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there for now. But Jackie, you've already been invited back. I look forward to the next time we speak to you.
Thank you so much for sharing and for the opportunity to learn and grow. I think that's so important to do together.
Ditto from my side too. That's me for today. So
thank you so much.
From me, Liesl Tom. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. CliffCentral.com.